You have the recorder, Jim? You have the recorder?
No, I, my memory lost. I had it right where I was supposed to have it. Walked out with that.
I wrote so much down. I wrote so much down here that from the music. I want to just address a few things before I actually get into the message, because so many of the things that were brought up in the worship were just so so spot on, and the mixture of the sweetness and the love of God with the more zeal-ish drive militant kind of situation that we were to have as the army of God, as soldiers of Christ, kind of all blended in together. And I was just really because that's some of what I'm going to talk about today, but I'm going to be getting to the point of the message about in the middle of the message. So it's a little bit of a longer lead up today toward what I think is the heart of what needs to be said. But I just want to comment that, you know, one of the songs, one of the last songs that we sang, the last song I think it was Hungry for a Mighty Move of God. Now, I want us to really understand this. This isn't it's not necessarily that it's some kind of grand miracle that's taking place. Lots of times when we think of a mighty move of God, we think of miracles and tremendous healings. I'm not negating that, but you know, there's one thing to sing, I'm looking for this mighty move of God. There's another thing to really take a hold of that by faith and realize that God is doing something mighty in you and I right now. There are things, the enemy knows how to rob us, knows how to cover things over and be a pickpocket. He really does. I mean, that is where I'm going to get to, but this is so important for us to realize, and especially in the times that we're in here. Reggie alluded to it, you know, the crazy, unprecedented things that have been going on in this country, in the world. And we know, you've heard it from me many times, that the things that are happening in the spirit realm, the plans that the enemy has, the plans that God has, the ultimate summation of things at the end of the age to bring in a new kingdom age, is always right there, and there's battle there, and we need to be people that are not only people that love the love and the gentleness and the healing and the empathy and all of those good, beautiful, warm, wonderful things and that we've sung about here about God, but that we realize in the very same breath, in the very same life that we live, we not only have to have that kind of approach to people and looking to bring them to Christ to love them and to forgive them and to all these different things, that we also realize we are in a battle. And the enemy of our soul, who has thumbed his nose to God and is opposed to God, and all of the sin and all of what has happened in the world is caused by that kind of rebellion. And we've all entered into that rebellion to some degree or another, haven't we? We're human beings and we're fallen and we tend to go in a different direction than the will of God. And thank God that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and has paved the way for us to serve God from a pure heart. Isn't that right? So realizing that there's a lot of softness and love and things that we need to have. We also, we really do need to understand that there is a being and his associates that are not loving and kind and wants the best for everyone. In fact, this being wants to devour you, wants to rob you, steal your joy, steal your peace, take from you anything that he can. Right? And so there's a balance here that we've really got to realize. We've got to realize, too, that Jesus has won the victory. And when we're in him, we are walking in victory, no matter what that looks like. The martyrs that have died in Christ, who've been tortured and have died, if we look at that and say, well, they died, how did God help them? We look at things differently, but they're in heaven, aren't they? And there's something that we've got to get that is right and balanced, that can look at life and forgive people and see through the dark areas of people and reach into their hearts and still love them and draw them closer to God and forgive them where we need to, and still know that we better have. I want to be careful how I say this. It's a face like flint. It's a ruthlessness. Okay? It really has to be. The scripture says we're to hate. That's a pretty extreme emotion. We are to hate evil. There is a balance. There's a time, and there is the right context for us to move in both of those things, sometimes even almost at the same moment. And be loving and wonderful and Christ-like all throughout that whole time. That's where we trip up. That's where I trip up. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Somebody, I think it was Sylvia. Sylvia had asked that the Bible, so we're studying the book of Joshua, and Sylvia asked me, what made you choose the book of Joshua for us to study? And I said, well, you know, the Hebrews had wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, and they got to the point where they were then going to be allowed to go into the promised land, the land that was promised to them. Now, I hope that as I say things out of the Old Testament, I don't have to explain the connection for us where we are now, but I might, all right? So, but if you're in Joshua right now, it's chapter 3. This generation, that generation of Hebrews had not lived in Canaan. The Hebrews hadn't lived in Canaan for 400 years prior. So this generation knew nothing about this land. And this is what it says in Joshua chapter 3. And he's talking about telling the Hebrews that you're going to let the Ark of the Covenant go before you into the Jordan, and then, but you're to kind of stay back because you want to follow the Ark of the Covenant. You want to know where it's going. Follow it wherever it goes. Then that's you're supposed to follow that the Ark, which has something to do with us listening to God, and not just making up our own mind what we're going to do in life. That there really is. Is there something there? Yeah. All right. So I'll do. It's verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and the ark, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Don't come near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way before. I want to say to you that what is going on in this world, everything that how Reggie described it, how you have seen it, what you see on TV, the craziness of this world, the overwhelming supply of lies that come all around in on almost anything, and we can become so overwhelmed by what's true, what's not true. It doesn't matter what topic you choose in life. I'm not talking just spiritual, but any topic that we choose, there's lies and there's truth. And we have a responsibility to pursue and know what the truth of things are, right? God is the God of truth. We should want to know what the truth is and not be overwhelmed by it. When we get overwhelmed by it, we need to be on our faces and be seeking the Lord, right? Right? So I'm just saying, we're moving into a land where we haven't been before. We're moving into the way things are done in this world, and the attitudes and the no holds barred in every realm where we haven't had to experience this before. Doesn't it seem to you that if you think back 10 years ago, life was so much more wonderful, it seemed, didn't it? Things were, the pace of the news cycle was, you know, some big news event would happen once, maybe a week or 2 weeks, and now it's from 1 hour to the next. Things have changed a lot. And whether you know it or not, this puts stress on you and I. It affects us, and because it's there, we don't know what to do with it. When we're confused, when there's so much to deal with and process in our minds, what we do is we put it on a back shelf. We suppress all of this, and that stress works on us. And it really can do a number to our minds, to the fact that we can't think clearly enough. These things are happening in the world, and we're at a place where, just like the Hebrews had to be sure to follow the ark, we, in a greater and more greater sense, need to be holding on to the Word of God, to our prayer life. This isn't just to get you to pray more. This isn't just for you to be a better Christian. This is not really about us. This is really about being the light and the salt of the earth that God wants us to be. For a generation of people that are lost and walking around not knowing really what's going on, because they don't know the scriptures well enough, you know, maybe you don't believe that we're coming to the end of an age. Maybe you do. It doesn't matter. We're in a pretty precarious situation worldwide, whether you think it's we're coming to the end or not. And so there needs to be, how many times have I said this, a readiness in our minds and hearts. But we can't be ready, and we can't be armed for the things that are happening in this world if every time we get some nugget from God, when we're met in the worship, when we read something and it stands out to us and we grab a hold of it, if down the line, that rotten pickpocket Satan steals something from you and I. Because he does. He steals it. He makes us question things. He pushes on our faith. He pushes on our patience. He pushes on our peace. He gets us to question all kinds of things in the wrong kind of manner. He gets us so that we feel overwhelmed, give up. And that's not who we're called to be, are we? And I, you know what? I am talking to a mature group of Christian people. And I know you already know all of this. And I was saying to the Lord when I was getting the message, everybody knows this, God. But you know what? We need reminding. We need constant reminding. Why? Because the enemy's always there to rob something, rob that message that really met you. I'm gonna be more self-controlled in this area of my life, or I'm going to reach out more here where I'm not where I tend to close myself off. And have you made those kind of declarations in your mind and heart sometimes? I'm going to be better at this. God, through your help, I'm going to be able to do this. And I know all of you want all of this. I want these things. And I find myself where the enemy ends up stealing it. And it's like a baseball hits me in the back of the head out of the woods, you know. And you go, where have I been lately? I thought I was going to do this or that, and I'm not following through on that. You know why? Because the enemy somehow got me distracted, got me maybe dismayed about something, made me feel upset or not in control about something in my life. Or maybe I feel like, well, I just can't do that. That just isn't me. And yet, There's the word of God that shows me something different. So all of this, has been working me over. let's turn here. Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. Malachi, chapter 3. Oops. I just keep coming back to this. It's just, I want to say this. The context of this particular scripture is God is talking to Malachi, and he's talking about God's people at the end of the age, near the end or really at the end. And here's something for us to consider. Verse 16, 3, Malachi 3, verses 16, 17, and 18, says this, then they that feared the Lord, how many of you consider yourself that you fear the Lord, and fear in the respect of, you revere him, you trust him, you know that he's God, he's above you, you are not equal with him. He is in a much higher place. He has all the wisdom, all the knowledge, all the love, all the compassion. He is above us, and we need to understand that. And if you have a fear of God, and that's what I'm talking about. Those who fear the Lord spoke often one to another. I want to tell you that in this time that we're in, we need to speak to one another more often. And even among our small congregation, we don't all think the same about everything in life. It is good for us to understand where someone who thinks differently than us is coming from. Don't you know that? It's important for us to know things, not just amongst ourselves also, but you know, people in the world, so that we have an understanding on how to speak back to them. Instead of just throwing scripture at them, that we would have an understanding how to approach where a person is coming from, right? I know, you know, Reggie's mentioned this numerous times. You know, we don't just throw things out at people. There needs to be a relationship. We have to understand people. Understanding people only comes when we're talking. The talking back and forth and seeing how a person acts and reacts. So this is really important for us here at the end of an age, because I'm really talking about battle, spiritual battle. But we can't bring the truth into a false area of a person's life just by throwing things at them, can we? We were talking about this at the last elders meeting. Reggie, you know, was waxing eloquent talking about that, but that's really the truth, you know. So if we're in a battle where the flow of lies is, I mean, it's unbelievable, right? How do we battle lies with truth? Do we just throw it out there? No, it has to come. It has to be packaged in the right way. And I don't mean that in some sterile kind of let's see what works type of thing. I'm talking about truly wanting in our hearts to touch people's lives and bring them to Christ and the truth. Right? That's what we're up for. This isn't some little religious game we're playing. We're in the reality of coming to an end of an age. We're in a reality where there's lots of people that are deceived. And Jesus says that's what's going to happen. So we have to be people that are prepared to bring people out of that. Well, we're not bringing anybody out of it if we're not there ourselves. We can't make disciples of the nations if we're not disciples ourselves. And just saying we're a disciple doesn't make us a disciple. This has to be something that's really real in yours and my heart. I've got to say, I want to change. I want to really be listening to God, not say I'm listening and then go do my own thing and then try to make some excuse that what I'm doing is okay because I'm a son of God and God's blessing me. No, you and I better know that, right? This is grown-up talk. This is big boy talk. I'm not talking to a bunch of babies, so I can say this to you. So he goes on. It says, those who fear the Lord spoke one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And the Lord made a book of remembrance for those that fear him and that think upon his name. Just because we read this doesn't mean that's what we're doing. That has to be something that you say, I'm bringing this into my life. I'm going to think more about you, God, in my life. I want this. And I don't want to get robbed of this. Goes on. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then you will return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that doesn't serve God. So I want to say to you, maybe you feel like you're overwhelmed with all of the lies and what's true, what isn't true, what's going on here. I can't handle this. I'm just going to put it off to the side and just forget about it. You know what? Continue to seek the Lord. Fear the Lord. Speak to people. Get in the Word of God. And you know what? God will tell you what's of God and what isn't. I'm no longer overwhelmed. Well, I do get overwhelmed sometimes with what I'm hearing. But I quickly, and I hope that all of us are doing this, quickly remember, God will show us through. But it isn't just, okay, God will show us through. Now I'm just going to go and live the way I've always lived, and I'm not going to change anything, and I'm just going to, God's just going to take care of me. True, but we better have, we got to keep our ears listening. We got to keep a humble, repentant heart, don't we? You might hear this from me. You've probably heard similar things like this over the last 20-some years for, I don't know, 50 times, 100 times. And we need to keep hearing things like this. Well, I do anyway. Maybe it'll sink in. One of these days. Yeah, and you know what? It is. And it is sinking in. It's just that it's a kind of a slower osmosis because of just life and the way that the enemy knows how to steal something from us. Even when, when you're reading the Bible or you're hearing a message and you go, oh man, that's really good. I'm writing this down, or I'm looking this over again. And then a whole week goes by, 2 weeks goes by, and you go, what was that? What was that about again? You know? Yeah, sometimes it's really, you know, and we go, my memory. Well, some of that is age. Some of that could be other chemical situations in the body. And sometimes it's the enemy robbing you. Yeah? Oh, yeah, it can. Sure, it could. He doesn't want you to grow spiritually. He's lost you and I in terms of, where we're going to end up for eternity. But he's still coming after us. Well, I'm going to rob them of their joy. I'm going to rob them of their love for one another. I'm going to rob them of this. I'm going to rob them of that. That's what he does. John 10:10 and John 8:44 talk about how he's nothing but a robber. And he kills and he steals, he kills, he destroys. This isn't somebody, some message where you just throw it over your shoulder and go, oh yeah, well, God's going to take care of me. Yeah, God is going to take care of me. But boy, I better, there's rules in the universe. We don't just decide what we're going to listen to and what we're not. Yeah, go ahead, John. Where is it? Oh, here it is.
Sorry. I would yell at everyone. And then...
That's okay.
Hello. I was like, you can watch the news today and get very upset easily. But I was reading this morning about a couple of things and just ended up on a tangent about a young girl who's a musician. And just recently she won all the major awards for best album and all these different things. And sold multi-millions and setting all kinds of records. And she started at 17, she's now 18. And she's self-declared fights with depression and clearly has lots of Satanist, basically, messages throughout her music. Very like graphic, even just any of the, if you do a search for her, the images that come up, you're just like, wow. But what struck me and upset me so much is, you'd hate to say innocent Satanism, but when I was young and you had Ozzy Osbourne and whatever, it was a certain amount of their shock value was that they were saying, I'm evil. I'm the evil guy. And I'm like aligned with Satan. And it was just sort of a macho sort of show. This person, what struck me as I'm reading through this and whatever else, is it's just this, like, her lyrics are so mocking, and she's glorifying suicide and all these depressive things. And young people are just flocking to this, and they can communicate with each other about it in ways that we never had before. And the other pieces back when I was young and those things were happening, just about everybody knew what was right and wrong. And there was this, you know, a countrywide, you know, parent-wide, hopefully 90% of them had a view of what was right and wrong, and had at least a basic understanding of Christian ethics and whatever. Now, none of these kids do. And it's looked at as, it's just such a, I don't know, twisting. And it just really upset me this morning. And you wonder why sort of all this other chaos is bubbling up in the world. And you're saying, you know, our young kids are 17 or 18. That's their role model. All another 17-year-old that's clinically depressed, that's Satanist and has all kinds of, you know, suicidal thoughts. And she shares them and everyone says, yeah. And it's like,
the world.
Where we are.
that darkness that's in the world that's growing needs light. It needs us. They need hope. This brings me to the next part of the message here. Would you turn it to Matthew chapter 5? Now remember, what I'm saying here is not, I'm not talking about pointing fingers, being mean in the way we say things to people. It's still coming in the right approach, you know, to speak the truth in gentleness. But this is important for us to realize. Matthew chapter 5, it's the book, the chapter on the Beatitudes. And we're going to jump down to verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. So what's the salt? All right, we're the salt. Well, what's that mean? What's salt do? It enhances flavor. That's one thing it does. What else? It preserves. It keeps things from rotting. We're supposed to make sure that things don't get too rotten in the world, right? We're supposed to, by the way we live our lives, by our actions, by our thoughts, whatever, we're supposed to be the people that bring good flavor into the world. So then it says this, then Jesus says this, but if the salt has lost its taste, how can the earth be salted? You see that? If the church isn't doing it, how's the earth going to get that preserving factor so it doesn't continue to get more rotten? It's not going to happen, is it? Look what happens to the church. It's therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Steve sent me a thing about a video by a pastor named Dutch Sheets. And Dutch is a very strong kind of guy. And it was a very strong message. And he was talking about how since the at least the 70s through today, the church has lost its voice. It isn't the authoritative voice that guides morality anymore. That was what we were just talking about. We've lost that. I want you to know that where it says has lost its savor, when you look up, when you look up the words, or the meaning of that word savor, it means to become insipid, dull. It means the mouth is shut. And this is what Dutch Sheets is talking about. The church in general has shut its mouth. It's gotten too distracted. It's into other kinds of things. It only looks at a few things. He was talking about there's two spheres of authority. You have the family authority that deals with salvation and love and nurturing and all of that, which is part of church life. But the other side is the ecclesia, is the way he talks about it, and that's the government side. That's the intercessory prayer side. That's the side that takes stands, that pushes truth, that is looking for justice. That, you know, so there's these two sides, and Dutch Sheet says that the church has kind of backed off from that over these decades. So that kind of came into what I was thinking about, because you know what? We've been robbed as individuals by the enemy, and we've been robbed as a church by what the enemy does to shut our mouths. That's what this savor is all about, shutting our mouths, being afraid, not wanting to say something. Now, we don't do it in some stupid way, but we need to understand that the world, the dark world, needs light. Yes, Reg.
So I watched that same video, and so it was talking about, like, you know, that there has to be people that stand for that too. You know, there's not just the loving side. There's a lot more to it, and there's stuff that stands for that. And so I know this person, and I said, you know, he's so up to date on stuff, and he's so strong in so many different things with this type of stuff, and he's a godly man. And I said, you know, you should run for some type of government office, right? Because that's important, right? And so his response was to me, it's too frustrating. It's too frustrating.
Yeah.
Because if I do that, then I'll just end up either getting in trouble or saying stuff that people don't like and stuff like that. And I was saying to myself, that's exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
It's like they don't, you know, we don't want to have Christian people in office because if they talk about the truth, it's not going to get looked at very well.
Yep.
And so it frustrates people. And so people just back down.
Yep.
Instead of saying, like, this is the battle, right?
Yeah, this is the battle.
I need to step forward and say, yeah, I'm going into this battle,
yeah,
even though, but it's tough. It's a tough battle to face because everything is pushing against that battle,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so I can totally see where that's happening. You
yeah
know, like
exactly,
good people who should be stepping out in the authority type parts,
mm-hmm,
backing down.
Yeah.
Back in that.
Yeah, and that's what Dutch Sheets was talking about. Yeah, absolutely. That's right. You know, we want to be led in the political realm. We want to be led by good people, by godly people, being from a Christian standpoint. We want to be led by good godly people. But if good godly people aren't being drawn in to it, or say, no, I can't, you know, how do you get it then? It's a catch-22. I mean, there are callings, you know, like Mike Pence. There are callings that Christian men and women have that can lead them into those areas or into, you know, any kind of endeavor, not just politics. But that's really important for us to see, which, again, this brings me to the next point. It's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. It says, I'll just read it. It says, there. It's talking about the time of the end, again. And Peter says this, therefore, this is 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Therefore, Gird up the loins of your mind for action. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation, at the revealing of Jesus Christ. So there is a thing where not just words, but action. Right? You have to say the words. That gets things going. But there needs to be action on our part. You know? You feel led to minister in the nursing homes, but then you don't go. Of course, it's a little hard now, but if you never go, then you, it's in your heart, but you're not doing it. We need to be provoked to action, right? God's looking for us to be people of action, especially here at the end. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind for action. That's what God wants. Getting ourselves ready. People learning different types of skills that they can teach others. There's all kinds of things. It isn't just political or there's all kinds of things. And follow where God leads you. Nobody's going to tell you what direction you have to go in. You get that from God and then take some action, right? Take some action.
Malcolm,
yes.
Before you were Matthew 5,
yeah.
It also, you know, Jesus is just starting his blessed are. And these are all givens. This is a, when he speaks, he said, this is a given. This is the way it is.
Yes.
He says, this is the way it is. In verse 10, blessed are you. It's given. You will be persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Blessed are you when people cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. So he gives the boundaries. If you're going to be persecuted, if you're going to have insult, it should be on account of him. but it is a given.
Yeah.
It's an affront to the church if we don't act.
Yeah.
And because people are demonically charged and they come against us, we should have no fear of them.
Right.
We have the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Which is so much greater than whatever it is that is going on inside their body and inside their mind and spirit.
Right.
But it really is a given that this is going to happen to you if you follow mm-hmm. me. If it's not happening, we probably should be concerned.
Yeah.
Because never have we lived in a point in society that is much worse than where we're at right now.
Right.
And so we have to. And as you said, we have to pray enough and know God well enough to know, where do I fit into this? Mm-hmm. Where's my part in this?
Yep.
And then do it.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I just want to say too that the way that the Christian mouths have been shut is by the thing of you're offending me. Stop offending me. And we as Christians, well, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to trip somebody up. What if they end up leaving? What if they're not going to listen now because we've offended them? We can't be that way either. Do you understand? There's a balance there. Isn't there? You guys all, you're together here, right? All right, Steve.
A testimony of how God works. A number of years ago, I was on a committee to revamp the sex ed curriculum.
Yeah.
Some of you may know this story, and I'll keep it really short, but it was a constant battle in the spiritual realm on this committee because I was involved with quite a few people who were non-believers and who were liberal thinkers. But we just kept plugging and spoke the truth. And anyway,
we had a whole bunch of people praying.
Yeah.
Right. Now, that was the important part.
Yes.
But in the end, when this committee agreed we needed to redo the curriculum, they appointed me to do it. And it wasn't me because I was ready to trash that
hang
place
up,
and get
right?
out of
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
So if you stay, like, you know, Chuck was saying or whatever, you stay connected, stay in prayer, and you can do it in a way that isn't offensive.
Amen.
But you got to stick with it.
Amen.
And pray, you know, pray for guidance.
That's right. Hang in there. This whole thing about how the enemy steals from us and all these different areas that we've been talking about, I feel like the Lord is just saying to us, retake what's been taken from you. That's different for every single person here. Retake some of those areas. If you don't know, ask God, because there's places where the enemy's, you know, when you think of a robber, robbers wear masks because they don't want you to know who they are. Satan doesn't want you to know he's working some little scheme or plan of his in your life. But he searches to and fro whom he may devour. He's like a lion looking for someone to devour. So he's looking any way he can to get our minds not trusting God, opening up to all kinds of different evil types of thought. Anything, any way he can. He's going to try to do that, isn't he? This side of things, the kingdom side, where Jesus is king of our life and we're submitting unto him, is very, very important. The reaching outside is very, very important, and so is this other side. Both need to be emphasized. But for today, this thing about, you know, we're soldiers. We're soldiers in Christ. I want to read. I'm going to finish. I'm skipping a whole bunch of stuff I was going to talk about, but I want to read this that I saw online, and then I'm going to close. It's describing themselves as a soldier of God. Okay? This is what this person wrote. I am a soldier in the army of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. We do have to see it that way, though, don't we? If you don't see it that way, then your mind doesn't get trained. It doesn't approach things. And not only are we a child of God who he loves and he forgives and all of that, but you know what? We're also to grow up and be a soldier of God. The Holy Scriptures are my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the word are my weapons of warfare. You really? Right? We need to be reminded of that. That's who we are. That's what I need to do, as well as these other things. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. All of us can say amen to that. I am a volunteer in this army, and I'm enlisted for eternity. I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I will be there. I am a soldier. I'm not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I am a soldier. I am not a wimp. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I am committed. Now, if you look at your life, I don't know. Sometimes I think I've fallen into some of those. You know, I want to be pampered. You know, I want to be cradled and cared for. And there's times where I think that's perfectly fine. But that can't be the attitude of our heart. God, you just got to do everything the way I want. And if things don't go my way, well, I'm going to be mad at you. You would be, wouldn't you? And that's what he's saying. He said, look, I'm a soldier. I'm not some little pampered child of God that has to have everything go his way and still getting fed by the bottle. No, we're to grow up into all things into him, the scripture tells us. All right, so it goes on. I'm almost done. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me upside down. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ. The devil cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Battles cannot beat me, and money can't buy me. I am a soldier of Christ. Now, I thought that was pretty decent. And again, I can read these words. You can hear these words. Hopefully, they're not going to be empty words. That you and I realize, you know what? That's the kind of person that's how I have to think. I can't have people always saying all kinds of great things to me. I don't need to be coddled. We're not here for the praise of men. We're here to serve God, right? Serve God. You don't get the recognition you think you need. People don't see that you're, you say, well, I feel like I'm just supposed to move in this particular ministry. And other people say, well, I don't think that is for you. But you go, well, I'll just go somewhere else then. You know, that's what we're talking about. You know, grow up. We need to be grown up, right? Oh, sure, I could do that for you. Yeah, I can. I'll get that for you. I'll send it to you. Yeah. Amen. People that are going to retake what the enemy has taken away, that God has given you in terms of ministry, in terms of character, where something's been taken from you. You know, the things of this life have come in and you've compromised in areas of your life and the enemy's robbed you of the joy of serving Christ in the right way. Right? I'm taking it back. I'm not going to be fearful. That's a big thing. Because the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear. But what? Of power and love and a sound mind. Amen. You want to say something?
Just real quick. And I think the Lord, I don't know if he's directing others to read certain places in the Bible, but Joshua, of course, I love Joshua.
Joshua's great.
But I was reading in Judges.
Yeah.
Deborah and Gideon.
Yeah.
And Gideon. I'll tell you what, you read that and it's gory.
It's gory.
It's gory, but my heart's like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That's how we need to be spiritually.
Yes.
Is drive that nail through the head.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, spiritually. Yeah, in a spiritual sense. That's right.
Spiritually. And
that's
that was right. A woman that did that to a king.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? We cannot be afraid to do battle.
Yeah.
And that might mean acting upon something that you've always been afraid to do or say.
Right.
But reading, I love Deborah. She was just she was a wife, she was a mother, but Israel went to her for wisdom and asked her, and the king would not go out and do battle unless she went ahead of him. It's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Yo. But that's how we need to be spiritually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right. We're talking about warrior spirit.
Yeah.
We're not talking about going out and killing people. We're talking about warrior spirit battle. Our battle isn't with flesh and blood. It's with the powers and principalities of darkness, right? Our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. All right. Somebody else want to say something? Eric? After over to Diane. So you might as well.
Several months ago, Marie gave a. She had written something. She printed off for all of us And it was about the weapons of warfare and so forth.
Yes. But
I think it was either the beginning or the end of it. She wrote that God is our commander in chief.
Yes.
I've never forgotten that. Not man, not world, no person. God is our commander in chief. I thought that was so powerful. It goes right along with what you're saying.
Yeah. I could do that. I'll just. Thank you.
I just think it's amazing when you read the Bible and see what the women of the Bible did. And of course, my heart is on Esther, because I just can't. She's just precious that she would be giving her life to save her Jewish family. And this week I received a little book in the mail from a dear friend, and it was all about the women of the Bible. Oh, it's just got me, because they did wondrous things and not in fear. They didn't have the fear that can go along with our decisions. No fear.
Right.
They did it for the glory of God. It's
the closer you get to the Lord, the less fear you have, really. Yeah.
Like unbelievably.
Right. That's right.
Today. You know, I'm.
Go ahead, Joe.
The rifles that we carry for the Lord is the Bible. We can shoot people with the Word of God. And I feel that I need to do more to go out and just push myself, because I don't really talk that much outside unless I'm with people I like. But I need to be able to talk to strangers, you know, and just let them know what God has done in my life, who I was, how I was, to where I am today.
Yeah.
You know, and if we do that, if you talk to 10 people and one, That's a victory.
Good. Yeah, that's good. Amen. Anything else? Lord, we stand before you right now and just ask that you make these things real to us as individuals, as a church, that we be people that retake those places, those attributes that the enemy has stolen from us. Lord, help us, show us, Lord, and that we seek to move again in the way that you would want us to. We love you, Lord. We're your sons and daughters. We're soldiers in your army. We don't want to not speak when we need to speak, Lord, that we be people of action in all the ways that you want. So, Lord, help us to be light in a dark world. In Jesus' name, amen.